you for downloading this podcast from Victory Outreach Manchester. We pray that this message will bless your life as you listen.
Hallelujah. We've been in this series about eternity, the forever series. We're coming to an end of it. Eternity never ends. That's why it's important that we make the right decisions in our lives right now, because eternity never ends. So whatever decisions we make today are going to last forever. So we need to make the right decisions, right, in different areas of our lives. But this series is coming to an end, and today I want to talk about something I feel is really, really important. Some of you know that there are laws and there are patterns that God has placed within His universe to bless us. And even people that don't know Him utilize these laws and they get blessed by it. But sometimes we as His children, we're last to the game, amen? And that needs to change. And today's message is entitled, You're an Investor. You're an Investor. Because investment is important. But investing in the right thing is important, right? So I just want to share this scripture, couple of verses in Matthew chapter 6. From verse 19 through 21, Jesus is speaking something very important. He says this. He says, don't store up treasures here on earth where moths and eat them and rust destroys them, where thieves break in and steal. Because it's temporal, so it's temporary. That's where the words kind of come from. Then he says this. He says, store your treasures in heaven, in eternity, where moths and rust cannot destroy and thieves do not break in and steal. Ain't no thieves in heaven. Amen. You can't be a Christian thief. I had someone once tell me, I'm a thief, I come to church, I believe in Jesus. How come you're still stealing? I'm a Christian thief. Yeah, all right. Then he says this, verse 21, real key. He says, wherever your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will also be. Wherever your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will also be. Amen. Please be seated. Praise the Lord. When the Bible speaks about heaven, it's speaking about the good guys. And they're on our side and we're on their side and it's the winning side. When it speaks about heaven, it's speaking about an idea, a concept. It's speaking about also a reality, a place. But it's the good guys. Amen. And it differentiates between heaven and its opponents. It's the place where God is. It's the place that right now is on a different plane of existence from us. But one day, it's going to move to earth. God's going to move His residence down to earth. You read the book of Revelation, you see that the new Jerusalem is going to come down to earth. And this new Jerusalem is a city, but check this out. It's, when you do the maths on it, it's 1,500 miles wide, deep, and high. In comparison, that's as big as North America, one city. It's huge. It's an enormous, great big thing. And that's where God is going to dwell. That's where Jesus is going to live. That's where the believers are going to be in this place. It's going to be a beautiful place. It's where heaven and earth touch and meet. Thing is this, if you're following Jesus Christ, you're going to be welcome there. Amen. But if you're not, you're going to be outside. That's what it says in Revelation, right? If you're not following Jesus, you're going to be outside. You know, read Revelation. It's a scary thing. Outside of the dogs, the sorcerers, the fornicators and all this and other. But the thing is, when you have a healthy perspective of eternity and how important it is, it brings change to the way you think and the way you act. You start thinking about things that will really matter forever instead of just things that have to do with matter right now. Because some of you know, not everything that has to do with matter matters. Sometimes we get tripped out. We're trained, right? We're trained from kids in this world to be consumers. We're trained to be worker bees. We're trained to be part of the system, right? We're educated in that way. We're educated into how to fit into certain systems. And then if we only have this world in mind, we stop investing in the things that matter. And then we just start doing things that fade, that die, that get stolen, that get lost. Instead of investing in things that become glorious. If all that you value is earthbound and limited to this life, your heart and your passions and your energy will be bound up in that. But here's something to note. I want you to understand this. Living well and enjoying this life is okay. It's not about just doing without everything. Sleeping on a bed of nails, having no clothes, living like a poor person. It's not about that. You can live well, but where is your heart? What is it that you value most? If people take away your car, if they take away your house, if they stop you from buying and selling, unless you take a mark, what are you going to do? You're going to quit your faith? You're going to stop, you know, following Jesus? What's going to happen? But if your heart is in the heavens, if your heart is invested in eternity, if your identity is in Christ, you can live good, you can live well, but it doesn't define you. He defines you. Your future defines you. I tell people all the time, stop trying to build your future from your past. We need to build our future based on our future. Last week, we were talking about living as a new creation. Really important. How we learn to live and the decisions we make. Amen. Because if all we've got is stuff when we live, when our life ends, and that's all we've had, that's all we've got. Many people have climbed the ladder of worldly success, and when they reach the top, they find they put it up against the wrong wall. Huh? One person said this about worldly rich people. They're so poor that all they have is money. I know rich people. How many of you know? They have problems, just the same as poor people. Admittedly, it's probably nicer to be rich and have problems than poor and have problems. Right? But maybe not. But it's not about that. It's about who are you? Who are you aligned with? Where's your heart at? Where's your value system? Where is it at? Another one said this, the last part of the person to convert is the wallet. The bank account, the savings account, the purse, hallelujah, the debit card, the credit card. It's the last thing to get saved in a person's life. And how many of you know, when someone's about to leave God, leave the church, whatever, the first thing to go is their money. They stop giving, they stop, you know, they stop making offerings, and then you know they're gone. Their heart's gone, because it's not in the things of God. So we need to form deep biblical convictions about this area as soon as possible in our Christian lives, because we need to learn how to invest the substance of our lives and what in. We need to learn what does God say about all of this stuff. And you have to understand that it goes against the indoctrination that we receive growing up. We're not trained to invest. You have to go outside of the education system in this country and in the Western countries, actually, to really learn how to invest and what in. Right? They don't teach you entrepreneurship. They teach you how to be a worker bee. And it's just, you know, nothing against teachers. It's the system. It's trying to get people in place. It's trying to keep people in place. Why? Because they believe that that's how society is going to work. If there's too many entrepreneurs and not enough workers, nothing's going to get done. So you have to understand that there's a system at play. And people are trained. And then what they do is, it's the old Roman idea of bread and circuses. They used to say, how do you keep the masses and the population under control? They say, give them bread and give them circuses. They used to have that thing, the Circus Maximus. And they used to have gladiator matches. Nowadays we have UFC and boxing. Hallelujah. Right? We have football matches. Huh? We have pizza. Come on, somebody. There's food. There's this and that. Basically, it's not just about food. It's about comfort. Keep them comfortable and keep them entertained. And then they won't question their reality. So everything's designed about that. But how many of you know, in this, God wants us to be people that are able to break out of that system to become what He's created us to be. Why is it that many, many people that are rich in this world are not Christians? Why is that? I was talking to a guy who's an investor in Dubai just the other week. I was on the phone to him, and he's been to this church. He's a great guy, and he's relocated. He lives in Dubai. He's his business now is they've just raised $200 million. He says, I want to be part of that. He says, me and my partners, we want to break into that area because we want to bless. And they've blessed our church. Amen. And they bless the work of God. We want to see that. But also in our own lives, we want to be able to invest in the right things. Sometimes we're trained to be, you know, to be part of the workforce, right? And even people will educate themselves for years to get into the higher levels of workforce, to become a doctor or a lawyer. Because they think that, you know, that's the thing to be. I'm going to be a doctor, I'm going to be a lawyer, I'm going to be well taken care of, amen? Because supposedly they're paid higher. But how many of you know, doctors are striking for more pay from their bosses, right? They're not free. Any doctors I know, they ain't free, right? When they're junior doctors, they work all the hours under the sun. Come on, somebody. They don't sleep, they don't eat, they get sick, same as anyone else. But what about in our situations, in our own scenarios, if we could know what God's patterns of blessing us are? Some people choose shady ways to get ahead because they want to break out of the system. Allegedly, that's what I did when I was younger. Tried to break out of that workforce system and became an entrepreneur in pharmaceuticals and banking and various different areas like that. But how many of you know, when you get caught in that, there's massive consequences. So there's consequences to every decision we make, good or bad. But it's learning what are the good things to invest in. Amen? So God don't want us to be just under the thumb and under the hammer all the time. He wants us to be creative. He wants us to be investors. He wants us to step out of the box. He wants us to be able to become everything he's created us to become. Do you have to work? Yeah, you have to work hard. But this is a life thing. God wants us to understand that we are created to be investors. And he's put this law in place, patterns and laws that he's put in place to show us this through his word. Really, really quiet in this place today because everyone's thinking I'm going to talk about money. Hallelujah. I'm going to talk about the law of reciprocity. Everyone say that. It's not as easy as you think, huh? Hallelujah. Someone over there said reciprocity. Someone couldn't get their tooth out of the way of their tongue. Amen. Someone spoke jellyfish just now. We have all different languages in here. One of them's jellyfish. There's also a few people that speak nonsense. Hallelujah. It's a language. The law of reciprocity. One way we get to build our spiritual store in heaven utilizes this thing called the law of reciprocity. It's a universal law. It was instituted by God. You've probably heard it described as sowing and reaping, right? If you ever watch any, you know, influencers, sometimes they talk about laws of attraction, they talk about laws of this. The law of reciprocity is something that is biblical, it's universal, it originated in God, it's how he wants things to work, but other people take it and they utilize it. But I want to show us how it works, and it works in all different areas in our lives. All wealthy people understand and use this law, whether they're followers of Christ or not. Paul highlights this law when he speaks to the church in Galatia. I'm going to read these verses. I want you to listen up because this encompasses and incorporates every single area of our lives. It's about everything, relationships. It's about health. It's about money. It's about our time, our family, our work. Everything we do can be found in these laws. Amen. In chapter 6 of Galatians, verse 1, he says, "Dear brothers and sisters, if another believer is overcome by some sin, you or a godly should gently and humbly help that person back onto the right path." Right? It's reciprocity. It says, "Be careful not to fall into the same temptation yourself." Huh? It's very easy sometimes to fall into the same temptation as someone else. But help them anyway. Share each other's burdens. And in this way, obey the law of Christ. Carry someone's burden with them. Help them out. Amen. If you think you're too important to help someone, you're only fooling yourself. You are not that important. That should be the word for the generation. Huh? It's the word for 2023. Hallelujah. You are not that important. Right? Then he says, pay careful attention to your own work, for then you will get the satisfaction of a job well done. Sometimes we want to talk about someone else's work, you know, that ain't no good, that shoddy over there, you know, and you're planking people everywhere you go. It's like, you know, specking them a plank. How many of you have been planked by someone? All right, am I in the right church today? Feel like, just singing a hymn or something. Huh? We're in the right church? Yeah. All right, man. Don't plank me. Someone just planked me right there. I felt it. I just felt the plank. I'm trying to teach you something. You planked me, man. Well, look at him. Poof. I felt it. Been feeling it all day, being planked. Huh? He says, pay careful attention to your own work. Pay careful attention to your own work. Pay careful attention to what you're responsible for. Pay careful attention to what you should be doing. Pay careful attention to the thing that was your responsibility and your duty to do. And then don't worry and don't compare yourself. It says, for then you won't need to compare yourself to anyone else. Because, I mean, if you know, the enemy of contentment is comparison, right? For we are each responsible for our own conduct. How someone treats you is irrelevant to how you respond. By all means, get angry, just don't sin. By all means, get hurt, just don't bleed on people that didn't cut you. Amen? By all means, bleed over the person that cut you. Spray them with blood, whatever. Then he says this, those who are taught the word of God should provide for their teachers, sharing all good things with them. That's been taken out of context. You know, the pastor sits on a throne and everyone comes and lays money at their feet. I've been in conferences and services where they took up an offering for the man of God and it was like 50 grand. Amen. And I'm the main speaker. And I didn't even get a tithe of that. But it's cool. It's not about that. What about encouragement? What about prayer? Amen. Because it's reciprocity. Now watch this. Number 7. Don't be misled. You cannot mock the justice of God. You will always harvest what you plant. Reciprocity. Wherever you sow, you're going to reap. Wherever you give, you're going to receive. Amen. Curse someone, guess what's coming at you? Bless someone, guess what's coming at you? Amen. Encourage someone, guess what's coming back at you? These things work. Those who live only to satisfy their own sinful nature will harvest decay and death from that sinful nature. How many of you have lived a sinful life and you got messed up by that sinful life? Come on now. How many of you got messed up? How many of you got messed up? In your mind, in your body, in your heart, in your soul. Come on now. It works. This works negatively. It also works positively. But those who live to please the Spirit will harvest everlasting life from the Spirit. When you sow into the things of heaven, into the things of God, you're going to receive something back that's eternal, that no moth can come in and despoil, that no rust can destroy, that no thief can kill. But here's the last, this verse that we always have to remind ourselves. So let's not get tired of doing what is good. It's my go-to verse as a pastor for 20 years in this church. Hallelujah. Don't get tired, Paul. It's going to come. Don't get tired, Paul. It's going to come. Don't get tired. Don't get tired. Don't be discouraged in one translation. Don't lose courage for the fight. Don't lose courage that things are going to change. Don't lose courage that people are going to change their attitude, not just their address. Don't get discouraged that the enemy is going to take you out. Don't get discouraged. At just the right time, we'll reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up. Therefore, whenever we have the opportunity, we should do good to everyone. Why? Well, even people that hate us, yeah, do good to them. Or even people to curse us. Yeah, do good to them. Even our enemies, especially our enemies. What about our friends? Duh. Come on, man. Do good to everyone. Why? Because you're going to receive back good. When you listen, if someone does something bad to you, says something bad to you, hurts you in some way, but you bless them, you pray for them and you bless them, what you're doing is showing them how they could have acted. Teaching people lessons. Bible says pouring hot coals on their heads. They have to respond to it somewhere. Huh? And you get blessed. Someone else is going to come and bless you because you're blessed. Are you with me? He says, especially those in the family of faith. So you see from this scripture that this applies to church life, family, friendships, as well as your job and your finances. It works for every area that you can invest in. So I want to give you four things real quick that are true about this. If you catch this and you employ this in your life, you're going to be blessed. How many of you want to be blessed? Like blessed? Some of you ain't putting your hand up, man. Listen, how many of you want to be blessed? Be honest, you want to be blessed. But blessing don't come if you don't give. Blessing harvest ain't going to come if you... So number one, the four things. Number one, shout number one. You reap what you sow. Everyone say what you sow. This includes your time. You sow time into someone, you'll get time back from someone. It includes your talent. Includes your giftings. You sow what you can do into someone else, and then someone's going to sow what they can do into you. How many of you have found this? Right? You're good with computers. You help someone out with computers, but you ain't good at plumbing. But when you have a leak, you call on someone, and someone comes and helps you with your plumbing. Amen? And it also includes your money. Some of you know, we sow in various different areas, but not in God. I heard this thing, this guy was preaching the other day, this is not in the notes, but I just wanted to share it, and he said, there you are, because of course we're in the eternity series, there you are, you're in this long line on your way to the judgment seat of Christ, the Bema seat, it's white, it's beautiful, there's angels around it, everything's wonderful, there you are, you're lining up, you're in the line, Lord's on there, shining and glowing, in front of you is this grizzled looking dude, amen. Beard, turns around and goes, hi, my name's Paul. What's your name? My name's Steve. What did you do for Christ? How was your life impacted? How did you invest what God gave you? What did you do?
Well, I went to church on Sunday.
Okay, but... You know, what did you do? What did you do?
What did you do?
Well, you know, I was whipped, I was shipwrecked, I was beaten, I was stoned, I went here, I went there, I went all over the place. I was left for dead. I had my head cut off, that's why I'm holding it under my arm.
Let me put it back on when I'm talking to you. Hallelujah.
But wasn't it wonderful? Wasn't it amazing? Wasn't it great? What did you do, man? Tell me your story. Tell me your story.
You're like, well, I went to church most Sundays. I even gave some money to church, like, you know, 3%, 4%. And I did that, and then I died.
Oh. Oh. Imagine.
The law of reciprocity is not limited to a farmer sowing crops. It's just as good for someone giving aid or assistance to another person. By definition, it's also just as true as investing money. Your generous sowing of part of your finance will also give you a return. You reap what you sow. If you sow time into someone, someone's going to sow time back into you. If you sow your skills and your talents into the things of God, someone's going to sow their time and talents into you. If you sow your money into the things of God, then guess what? At some stage, God's going to return that to you. You always reap what you sow. Amen? If you sow a plum, you're not going to get back wheat. You reap what you sow. Number two, you reap where you sow. This is important. You don't sow in one field and expect a return from another field. Right? You can't expect to sow all your time and energy into yourself and expect a return from others. You can't expect to sow all your time and energy into your job and expect a return from your family. You can't expect to sow all your time and energy in the world and expect a return from God or your church. Some people say, I'm not growing in church. Yeah, what are you sowing in church? Well, I'm growing this church, so they want to go over here. So you hear me say it, you change your attitude or you change your address. Mostly that's true. Sometimes people get called into another place to go and sow another field, into another farm, and that's fine. But the excuse of I'm not growing in a church means you ain't sowing in a church. I don't care where it is. Because we have people come from a church and they'll say, oh, I hated that church. I never grew in that church. It was rubbish in that church. I'm like, you can grow anywhere. Are you with me? If you sow, you're going to grow. It's the law of reciprocity. If you sow into God, you'll get an eternal reward. It's three places that you should sow into if you want to benefit from eternity. The Word of God. The Word of God. You've got to sow into the Word of God. If you never read the Bible, if you never study the Word of God, then you're not going to reap what it is that the Word of God wants to do in your life. If you only come once a week and get the Word of God from me, then I'm sorry about that. Amen? Because you ain't getting everything, right? There's more that God wants to give you. You're getting stuff through my lens. But you need to get your own stuff. You need to study the Word of God. You need to be one of those Bereans that Paul talks about. You need to go and study it for yourself. Amen? The Word of God. Invest in knowing who God is and what He says, because that's what the Word of God does. Shows you who He is, what He's saying about all different types of things. How does He operate? The second thing is the will of God. You've got to sow into the will of God. It's not our will, it's His will be done. Sometimes we have our preferences, and God says, no, I want you to do this. And you're like, I'd prefer to do that. But God blesses obedience. But I can sacrifice over there. But sacrifice is not the same as obedience. You can sacrifice all you want, but if you're not doing what God says, it's a wasted effort. Amen? So we have to sow into the will of God. Invest in what God wants to see happen. And then the third thing are the ways of God. The ways of God. Invest in how God makes things happen. God makes things happen through obedience, through faithfulness. He makes things happen when you do what He says. You're where He wants you to be. When you turn up in the right place, doing the right thing for the right reason, there's going to be a good return from that. Number three, you reap after you sow. This is something that people don't understand. Especially with, to do with money. Right? When you start really catching the call of God and knowing that your money is part of your salvation. It's not apart from your salvation. Are you with me? It's a part of your salvation. It's a part of your journey. When you realize that and you start to realize that, you know what? I'm not just coming to church. I'm sowing into the things of God. I'm giving my first fruits offering to God. I'm sowing into His kingdom. With my time, you're turning up. With my talent, you're getting involved. With my treasure, you're actually investing. The thing that most people hold on to the most, where moth and rust destroy and thieves come in and steal. But you're not sending anything on ahead into eternity, right? But you have to understand, you have to give in faith to receive in faith. The harvest doesn't come until after the seed is sown. Huh? At most, we'll receive seed from someone else to sow into our own harvest. And it is God that gives us the power to make wealth. Amen? Deuteronomy. There are decisions to make which will show where our heart is at. And it will bear fruit when your treasure is invested in the things of God. You know, it's so easy to find out how committed you are. We was talking about this last week in the leadership training. If you want to know how committed you are, have a look at your bank account and your calendar. How committed you are to the things of God. Have a look at your bank account and your calendar. If your calendar is all about you stuff, but it's not about God stuff, then you're more committed to you than you are to Him. Have a look at your bank account. If all of your money is going not just on the stuff that you need it to go on, like, you know, all the stuff just to live in a Western society, but if then your disposable income, if you know, 1% of it, 2% of it, 3% of it is going to the things of God, but 93% of it, 95% of it is going to the things of the belly. Come on, somebody. The things of the eyelash, the things of the hair, the things of the nails. Come on. Right? The things of the football match, the things of the pizza. Then you can tell where your commitment is. But you have to wait. There has never been a time when I've sowed into God that I haven't received at some stage. Listen, I'm not that brilliant. I'm not a businessman. I don't do business. I don't do this. I don't do that. I get a wage from this church that me and my wife have just been faithful to try and, you know, just partner with the Holy Spirit to see built. And it's only because that this church is built that we get a wage. 5 years ago, I didn't get a wage. After 15 years, didn't even get a wage. Not in it for the income. We're in it for the outcome, right? But let me tell you something. I'm a house owner. Because you know what? I've always tithed. I've always paid my United We Can. You know what I mean? We've always been faithful. Whatever comes in, we give the first bit to God. Always. But then someone else comes in and says, here's 15 grand. Put a deposit down on a house. Someone else comes in and says, you've got debts from, you know, we had debts from pastoring this church. Credit card debts and loan debts, and I paid for crusades out of my own pocket before I woke up and smelt the coffee. Thought, I'm not doing that, I'm getting in the way of God. Right? 12 grand we had in debt. But we sow, even when I weren't getting paid during lockdown. Right? Times I weren't getting paid, but we were paying the staff. Why? Because people weren't giving, because they were worried about the zombie flesh eaters coming and eating their brains. Parked up in their houses, you know what I mean? With their water pistols filled with hand wash. I know you did that. I know you had them things. Come on now. Huh? Bucket that you used to put on your head with a little square out of it, some cling film in front of it so no one could get to you. Even in those times, we would give from everything that came in. You know what? Someone came up to me, someone I just met. Said, God's told me to pay off all your debts. How much are they? 12 grand. Paid off all that debts. Amen. Amen. Wish I'd have included the mortgage now, because that's a debt, right? Maybe you would have paid that off as well. I don't know. Maybe my faith was too small. The point is that it took some time, but I've never, ever failed to see the blessing of God upon my life. Ever. Ever. Amen. Ever. But you've got to wait. And you've got to trust. Number four. This is a good one to leave you with. You always reap more than you sow. This is a law. Sow an apple seed, what are you going to get back? You ain't going to get an apple seed. Like, sow the seed and... If you sow a seed and all you reap is a seed, then obviously you ain't doing it right. Amen. You've sown it into concrete or something. Come on, man. You've got to sow it into the right soil, the things of God. But if you sow a seed, eventually an apple tree's going to grow that's going to have apples. And God has made it so that everything he created contains a seed within it so that it can reproduce after its own kind. Right? Sow corn seed, reap a what? A corn tree? That shows a city girl right there, amen. Sow corn seed, reap a corn tree. Reap a corn cob, hallelujah. Sow corn seed, reap a cornfield, amen. You're always going to reap what more than you sow. Sow your first fruits offering of God to God of money. Guess what you're going to reap back? At some stage, there's going to be more money coming to you because God wants us not to get worse, but to get better. He wants us to grow. He wants us to stretch. He wants us to expand. He don't want you renting all the time. He wants you owning some stuff. Come on, somebody. Huh? I've never ever given my tithes, my offerings, and tithes, whatever, 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 technical terms. I've never ever given of my financial substance to God, and I'll give it to his church, right? First of all, me and my wife pay tithes to our church. It's soil, right? We don't not pay tithes because we get paid by the church. We pay back. Why? Because we know it's reciprocity. It's reciprocity, man. We pay into United We Can so that missionaries can come, so that the church in Dublin can be planted, so that people can get saved and families can be reconciled, that we're not even going to be there touching and reaching, but we're sowing right now so that that environment can be built. We sow our United We Can. We do Run for Hope. That's why Liverpool's got a church with 40 men in the home. That's why Birmingham's got a church and my wife's there preaching right now. That's why London's there. That's why Frankfurt's there. That's why Glasgow's there. Come on, somebody. That's why Amsterdam's there. Why? And guess who's reaping from that? People that sowed into that. I can go anywhere in the world that there's a Victory Outreach. Anywhere. My son found this out when I took him to conference. Right? You heard his testimony. Dad, you're famous. Everywhere I go, oh, Pastor Paul, Manchester. Yeah, man. Hallelujah. You want to ride? Yeah, where do you want to go? Take you out to eat. Why? Because we've sold our lives into the vision. And everywhere we go, God blesses us. God blesses us. When people come here, we sow into them. They're sowing into us, you're going to get blessed from us. That's how it works, man. And I don't know about you, but sometimes Victory Outreach churches can have this outward thought that people think that we're just, you know, inner city churches with loads of messed up people. And that's partially true, amen, because most of you are messed up in some way, shape, or form, right? How many of you have had a squeaky clean life? I'm watching for your hands. How many of you have never lied? There's always someone puts their hand up and just foul right there. Huh? But how many of you know, we have got people in this place that boggle the mind as to the quality of who they are. We've got doctors and we've got psychologists and we've got musicians, we've got famous authors, hallelujah, engineers, master's degrees, PhDs, business owners, managers, care professionals, accountants, come on now, beautiful people, sports people we've had in this church. And the thing is this, God wants us to know that he wants us to be blessed. He wants us to be blessed. But he wants us to know how to do it. Why did God put the seed inside of everything that he created? So he didn't have to be there hands on all the time, creating over and over and over and over. He rested. Why? Because he's placed it inside of us. He's given us the patterns. He's given us the seasons. He's given us the times. He's given us the ways to do these things. Why? And what does he expect from us? Just to sit there and say, God, bless me? Or to say, God, you bless this. You said do this, and I know that if I do this, it's already blessed. Too many people want God to bless them for doing nothing when God says, I've given you the seed, I've given you the pattern, I've given you the idea, I've given it to you. Now put it into practice and watch my blessing flow, because what you're doing is you're tapping in. You're tapping in. So last thing, watch this, man. Watch this. How many of you have a tap in your house? Some of you are still living in a shack where you only have water when it rains, huh? You bathe in puddles outside like we used to do when I was growing up. 16 of us living in a matchbox. Up north, there were 15 of us living in a matchbox. We only ever had a shower when it rained. You have a tap in your house. Why is your house not flooded? Because it's not on. So having the tap turned off stops the flow. Oh, you ain't catching this.
So if God has a reservoir, a resource, a pool of resource, if he owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, if all the gold and silver is his, if the blessing is his, if healing is his, if the anointing is his, and he's given us a tap, and he's shown us if you turn it on, it's going to access this. But we, in our stubbornness, or even in our ignorance, or our laziness, keep the tap turned off. And I don't know about you, but I believe that God wants to bless us. That's why the enemy's trying to stop us. He's trying to oppose the blessing. But he can't, because God's opening new doors. There's people going to be blessed. And it ain't just going to come as an accident. It's going to come because we're obeying the word of God. We're activating the word of God. We're activating the things of God. How many people want to activate the blessings of God? And the thing is, it's about decisions that we make, about where we're going to sow, what we're going to do, and how we're going to do it. Don't complain to me that you're overweight if you don't exercise or you eat too much. Come on, somebody. Right? If you're fat, you're fat, man. There's no point sugarcoating it because you probably eat that as well. Sorry to anyone who is feeling that one. All of us feel it. Even skinny people feel it sometimes. Activate. Sow. It's a time of sowing. We're going to reap. Father, in this place today, bless us. What good farmer or investor ever expects to receive less than the seed that was sown? However it happens, they never receive less. Unless there's a drought or there's a famine or there's some natural disaster. And sometimes the enemy comes, but what does the farmer do? The farmer plows the field, sows the seed, waters it, waits. So what are you going to invest in? Start by investing time in the Word of God and prayer. Every single day. If you're a morning person, do it in the morning. If you're an evening person, do it in the evening. If you're an afternoon person, do it in the afternoon. Just do it. Invest it time in your family. Quality time. Doesn't have to be a lot of time. One seed is one seed, right? But if all you can give them is an hour, make sure they get 100% of you in that hour. Put your phone down. Don't be distracted. Don't make another call. Don't watch the TV. Don't do something else. If it's 15 minutes, give them 100% of your time for 15 minutes. If it's your friends, be friendly. Answer their calls. Answer their texts. If it's God's church, make sure it's not just a secondary option. It's not the B plan. Make sure it's not just convenient Christianity that you're involved in. Invest your talent into taking care of the responsibilities that God's given to you to carry. Be a problem solver, not just a problem maker. Invest your treasure into eternal things that give an eternal return. You invest money in this church, it's more than just paying the bills. It's in lives being transformed, marriages being put back together, healings flowing in people's lives, families being reconciled, futures being released, destinies being received. It's eternal stuff. That's what we're all about. Give your first fruit of what you earn to God's will and work. And be generous. See how God blesses it. Withhold and see what the consequences of that are. Bible's clear. Amen. Bible's clear. Read Proverbs about generosity and stinginess. Don't hold back in any of these areas. Don't hold back your investment, because you'll block your own blessings from flowing through your life. God doesn't just want to bless into you. He wants to bless through you. When you're a tap, you can always be blessed. You can always be a blessing. You can always receive and you can always give. Be a vessel that God can flow through. If he can trust you with being a steward, a good steward, that when he comes back, you're going to not only give him the 5 talents back that he gave you, but you're going to give him 10. You're going to get well done, good and faithful servant. If you withhold the 1, you're going to be cast out. Useless, worthless, can't be trusted. And then expect your harvest to be plentiful enough so that you can not only enjoy it, but you'll have enough left over to sow again. God is a God of not enough. He's a God of just enough. He's a God of more than enough. He'll always give you what you need and more. More than you need is also a seed. God wants us to be more than just consumers. He's designed us and created us and wants to equip and empower us to be investors. And in a year from now, you'd have wished you'd have caught this today. Come, let's all stand. Lift up your hands. Lift up your hearts. Jesus. Jesus. Hallelujah.
Victory Outreach Manchester is a family in the city, and we are here for you. Visit us every Sunday in person at the church building or live on Facebook and YouTube at 10 a.m. Go to our website vomanchester.org.uk for more information.